Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hey, and welcome to the Flourish and Thrive radio show. This is episode 2, and I am Kate Hartley, your host, helping you live your best life possible with a selection of inspiring and uplifting interviews from people who have dug deep, been brave, have followed their dreams, and are now turning those dreams into reality. Flourish and Thrive is designed to be your seed of inspiration, to motivate you to realize that your dreams truly are within your grasp. Whatever your experiences, whatever your background and whatever your current life situation, you can harness your resourcefulness to live your best life possible. So don't let life pass you by. Jump into that driving seat, fulfill your dreams, and live a life of purpose and contribution. My guests bring a combination of inspirational stories, strategies for overcoming roadblocks, and proof that when you go for gold, you usually find it, so that you, our listeners, can flourish and thrive. You can find me at flourishtherapy.co.uk. I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk. And my Twitter handle is at Kate Hartley UK. I'd love to hear your feedback. I couldn't bring a better guest on than the person I'm going to introduce you tonight, to inspire you, to educate you, and to help you live your best menopause possible. For those of you who don't know her, her name is Julie Dennis, otherwise known as the Menopause Coach. She has been quoted in the Telegraph magazine Stella, has featured on Psychology's Life Labs, and is part of the Guardian campaign to raise awareness of menopause. She specializes in practical and natural solutions for controlling menopause symptoms for women who don't want to resort to HRT. She helps busy professional women cool down, calm down, break through the brain fog, and feel like themselves again so they can stay on track with their relationships and careers. Her vision is that all women can easily get access to balanced expert advice about how to control their menopause symptoms. As far as Julie is concerned, menopause is no longer a silent issue. This year, she is on a mission to transform the lives of 1,000 women with her Hot Flush Freedom Challenge, a fun, free 10-day challenge to get you cooler, calmer, mentally sharper, and feeling like yourself again. Julie is the creator of the Hot Flush Freedom Formula, which is a holistic approach to managing menopausal symptoms. By the way, I just want to let you know that if you want to call into the show to ask Julie your menopause-related questions, you can call 646-716-7979. Again, that's 646-716-7979. And remember that if you're calling in from outside of the state, you're going to need to add 001 before the number. So call 001-646-716-7979. So my intention for this show, Julie, is to give our listeners a mixture of two things. An opportunity for them to get to know you a little more on a personal level. And I really want them to get to hear and learn from you because you have some incredible things to teach. I'm so grateful to Julie for being with me here today. So welcome, Julie Dennis.
Hello there, Kate, and thanks so much for having me on the show.
It's my absolute pleasure. So to get us started, Julie, I wonder if you'd share with us what got you started to sort of where you're at now and what's your big why?
Well, I'm 46 now, Kate, but actually my menopause story started in my early 30s.
Really young,
and actually people still look at me now and think I'm a bit too young for what I'm doing, but I've got a wealth of experience. So I was working in London at the time. I had a typical corporate job for a FTSE 100, and I noticed that I was starting to get a bit thicker around the waist, so started dieting and exercising like you do, and nothing seemed to really work. it became clear that there was something wrong. So eventually I went to the doctors, and 10 days later I was in hospital being prepped for a hysterectomy. And that was when I was 32.
Gosh.
I was in hospital for a couple of weeks, and within a couple of days of the operation, actually, I was put onto HRT, which at the time I took quite happily. I assumed it was a cure for menopause, that I would keep popping those pills until I was in my sort of early 50s, and then I'd get on with my life, job done, and not have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. So I went home, I took the pills, I recovered from the surgery, and I went back to work. Fast forward about 10 years, and I was made redundant from my job in London, which actually I was quite pleased about. You know, lots of other people were upset, but for me, you know, I wasn't doing the job that I disliked, but it wasn't a job that I was passionate about.
Yeah.
So I took, you know what I mean? So I took the opportunity to do something completely different. So having worked in the mining industry for over 10 years, I decided to retrain in the health and wellness industry. I wanted to work with women like me, women who were over 40, who wanted to get fit but not too fit, lose a bit of weight but not too much, get healthy but not too healthy. So I retrained as a personal trainer and nutrition advisor, and sat on my own business working with women over 40. And it was all going really well until I started getting questions about menopause from my clients, and specifically how to manage menopause symptoms naturally, which, of course, I didn't have a clue about.
Yeah.
I was taking HRT. I thought I was fixed. So, you know what it's like when you run your own business? Clients are super important. You want to do exactly what you can to help them. So I went out and did a whole load of extensive research and discovered, to my absolute horror, that actually HRT isn't a cure for menopause. It's a Band-Aid. It's a stopgap. But it's not a cure. And that actually, when you come off HRT, your symptoms are likely to come back anyway. So,
gosh, is that, I had no idea that your symptoms. Yeah. So you actually still then go through the menopause even though when you've finished HRT?
That's right. And for some ladies, even taking HRT, they still experience symptoms. So, you know, all HRT is doing really is it's masking what's really going on with your body. So all the time your body wants to tell you that something's going on, but you're taking the HRT and it's stopping you from hearing the messages that your body's given you. So I took the big decision to wean myself off it. And over a period of about 6 months, I gradually reduced my dosage. And for a while, I didn't feel any different at all. I was like, yes, this is sorted, you know, it worked, I'm fine, I am cured. But then literally within about probably 24 hours of taking my last tablet, the symptoms started to hit me. First one being a UTI, which I didn't even know was a menopause symptom at the time.
Yes.
It was the first one I'd ever had and knocked me for absolute six. I was, you know, completely out of it for about 48 hours. I had the UTI, I had night sweats, I got hot flushes, I got brain fog, started leaving the front door open. what else? Menopausal rage. For anybody who's struggling with menopause symptoms, they'll know exactly what I mean when you get consumed by this kind of violent rage. I even jumped out my car once in the petrol queue at Sainsbury's because I thought some woman had pushed in front of me and got right up into her face to tell her. This is absolutely mortifying when I think about my behaviour now. But, you know, to tell her exactly what I thought.
You look so meek and mild on your photo, Julie.
It's like menopause changes you if you're not careful, you know. And it's so embarrassing because I was stuck in the queue. So then I had to, you know, everybody could see me. I had to go and get my petrol. I had to go and pay for it. It was just absolutely mortifying. But at the time, you know, I felt that I had no control over my body and what it was making me do. I was lucky enough to work with a menopause mentor for a few months, and what I was then able to do was to bring my symptoms under control through natural and practical solutions. And what that made me realize that I really wanted to do then was to show other women how to do that too, to let them know that you've got a choice. You know, if you want to take HRT, that's absolutely fine. It's your body, it's your menopause, it's your choice. But there are other options out there. And I, like I said, like you said in the introduction, you know, I'm on a mission this year to transform the lives of as many women as possible by letting them know that they've got a choice as to how to manage their menopause symptoms.
Gosh, I think you're going to give freedom to an awful lot of women, knowing that they actually do have that choice. Because I think we all reach our sort of mid-40s, and then you're faced with the dilemma. Do you take HRT or do you suffer it alone? And to know that there are natural therapies out, or natural alternatives out there to help you manage the symptoms, so you're not masking them, and you're not telling your body that actually it's not happening, but you go through it naturally. You just alleviate what's happening. It must be a godsend to the majority of some middle-aged woman population.
You're right. You know, women think they've only got two choices, either to suffer or to go on HRT. Actually, that's not true. You can suffer, you can go on HRT, or you can make some lifestyle changes that means you can get control of your symptoms yourself.
So I want to go on to those lifestyle changes, because, you know, personally, I'd really like to know more about those. But, you know, you mentioned that you had a menopause mentor. How did you find? I didn't even know that sort of person existed.
I just by Googling, actually. I think, I mean, I worked in the health and wellness industry anyway, so I had quite a good network. So I just asked around. And you're right, there aren't many of us around, you know, because I work as a menopause coach myself now as well. And, you know, it's a very niche area. There's not many of us doing it, which is why I'm so grateful for you for letting me to come on your show, so I can let other women know that there are people like me out there to help you.
I think I'm just so glad that you can come on the show, because I think so many women are going to just gain so much from listening to you talk. So steer me if you can, but for somebody who's, I'm just literally beginning perimenopausal, so I do have hot flushes, and I certainly have brain fog. What would you say is the sort of number one symptom that most women either suffer with or start with?
I think the one that crops up most commonly, I mean, what you hear talked about all the time is hot flushes, right? You know, is it hot in here, or is it me? Ha ha. Except, do you know what? It's not funny when it's happening to you. So that's the one you hear talked about most. But actually, whenever I do, whenever I poll my clients, whenever I poll the ladies that I work with, I find that the number one challenge that comes up is usually to do with sleep, whether that's you're not able to sleep because of night sweats, whether that's because you're not able to sleep because you're having to get up to pee 4 or 5 times a night, or whether that's because you're not able to sleep because you're waking up because you just can't seem to shut your mind down and you have this constant worry and anxiety. So poor sleep, in my experience, is the number one challenge that women have during perimenopause, heading towards menopause.
And I suppose also sleep has such a massive impact on all aspects of your life. So if you're not getting decent sleep, then everything is exacerbated in any case.
If you can't get a good night's sleep, then everything the next day is so much harder to cope with. And your other symptoms will become worse as a result of that. So, you know, getting your sleep sorted is the number one thing, really. And you get stuck in this vicious circle, because when you're not sleeping, your body becomes really stressed. And the more stressed your body is, the worse your symptoms become. So you can get stuck in this, you know, this like vicious circle. So getting your sleep sorted is definitely number one on the list, I think.
And although people might be having sleep disturbances for different reasons, whether it's hot flushes or an anxious mind, would you say the remedy is the same remedy to help them overcome that? Or do you deal with each symptom, as it were, in a different manner? I mean, what would you suggest to somebody who's, essentially, would the advice that you give to somebody who's suffering with an anxious brain, would that advice be the same as somebody who can't sleep because of hot flushes?
Some of it would be similar. Say, look, let's have a look at night sweats first of all, which again are, you know, hot flushes during the day are uncomfortable and they're embarrassing. The ones at night, at least it's just you it's happening to, and you might have your partner in bed with you. But again, it's uncomfortable, it's embarrassing, it's not nice when you've got to get up and change your clothes in the middle of the night. So the first thing I would say, if you're struggling with night sweats, is to look at what you are drinking. And one of the number one triggers for night sweats, sadly, is alcohol. I know for me, once I cut right back on my drinking, and the same is for my clients, once they cut back on their drinking, they find that their night sweats start to diminish too. So whether it's wine, whether it's gin, whether it's lager, whatever your favorite tipple is, as soon as you can start working on cutting that back, you'll find your night sweats will start to disappear too. You know, and it's so easy, I think, in our 30s, we slip into the habit quite often of drinking most evenings. You know, where a lot of us are casual drinkers, you might have a glass of wine or two after a hard day at work or at the end of a difficult week. But actually, it's not making you feel better. You get some short-term relief, but actually the long-term consequences are that it's really going to disrupt your sleep, especially with the night sweats. So as far as night sweats go, the first thing to look at is cutting back on your alcohol. If you are awake because you're anxious, because you can't seem to shut down your mind, the first thing I would say you need to look at is what you are doing in the 90 minutes or so before you go to bed. Are you checking into Facebook? Are you looking at your work emails? Are you watching something either upsetting or too exciting, maybe even on TV? You know, that 90 minutes before you go to bed should be all about you powering down. You want to be reading a book, listening to some music, maybe having a bath with some magnesium bath salts, or, you know, hey, why not even sit down and have a chat with your partner? Remember those days? So it's all about that nighttime routine and powering down in that last 90 minutes before you go to bed and staying away from your screens, because they emit this blue light that tricks your mind into thinking that it's time to get up rather than time to go to bed. And if your mind thinks it's time to get up, not go to bed, then your body's not going to be producing melatonin, which is your main sleep hormone, and then you won't be able to get the sleep that you need.
That's exactly what I tell my patients or clients that have sleep disturbances as well. Mm. And they say, yeah, but I love watching television in bed before I go to sleep. So it's like, well, what do you love more, going to sleep well, or do you want to watch the television?
Yeah,
like, read
absolutely.
A book.
And you're right. It's, you know, again, it's about choice. You know, what can't you wait? And, you know, we can watch TV whenever we want these days. We don't have to, you know, it's not like 20 years ago when something was on, you had to watch it because that was your only chance. You can watch things whenever you want now with recording shows or Netflix, etc. So you don't have to watch this stuff just before you go to bed. Watch it much earlier in the evening and do something much more relaxing later on.
Absolutely. So what made you come to the decision to actually put this challenge together? Because obviously it's just, you're on day 3 of it now, I believe. Is that correct?
Oh, my hot flush freedom challenge. Yeah, so I'm running.
Yeah, tell us more about that.
Yeah, so it's a 10-day challenge to help you cool down, calm down, and break through that brain fog. What I've done up till now is I had been working mainly with premium clients, one-to-one coaching, helping women to get control of their menopausal symptoms. But what I wanted to be able to do was to reach a lot more women. And the only way I thought I was going to be able to do that was to start giving my advice out for free. You know, menopause is, it can feel like a complex time of life, but it's actually not that complicated to get your symptoms under control. So if I can give some relief to a lot of women, that's going to make me happy. You know, I'm on a mission this year to transform the lives of at least 1,000 women in terms of getting their menopausal symptoms under control. And the challenge for me is one of the easiest ways to do that. This is the third time I've run it. We've got 200 ladies signed up this time. And it simply is every morning you get an email and a little video from me with your challenge for the day over a period of 10 days. We've also, and most importantly, got a private Facebook group for cheerleading and support, because, you know, menopause isn't talked about very much. We all tend to keep it to ourselves. It can be quite a lonely place. But as soon as you start sharing your experiences, as soon as you start sharing what's going on with you, you realize you're not alone. And, you know, the Facebook group is full of posts from women saying, you know, this is happening to me. Is this normal? Is anybody else feeling this? And there's a whole load of responses come rushing in going, yes, that's happening to me too. You know, you're not going crazy. You're not going mad. Menopause can make you feel like that, but you're not, I promise.
Yes, because I think menopause can be quite a lonely time for a woman, because we're all quite cruel to ourselves, aren't we? And I think you sort of beat yourself up if you're feeling ratty, or like your road rage or car rage in the petrol station.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, but that was purely hormonally triggered, I would imagine. And
it wasn't my fault. And, you know, I'm when I think about it now, I'm mortified. But, you know, there was nothing I can do about it at the time. You know, I was just overwhelmed. And we shouldn't feel guilty about stuff that we can't control. Once you know how to get things under control, then you don't have to behave like that any longer. But you're not going to learn how to do that until you ask for help, until you say out loud, this is what is happening to me. What can I do?
Do you find women, is it easy for people or women to speak to their partners and family about it? Or do you think that we still kind of try to keep it a bit secret and manage it somehow without involving the rest of the family members?
Yeah, and you know, women have this thing that we're kind of martyrs sometimes, aren't we? Martyrs to ourselves. We don't think that we have to take care of everybody else. Rather than worrying about taking care of ourselves. Actually, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, then it's so much more difficult to take care of everybody else. And I think, you know, some women find it easy to talk to their family about what's going on, and some don't. You know, we all have relationships. Our relationships are all different, but communication is absolutely key in any area of a relationship. And if you can tell your partner what's going on, again, you're immediately going to feel so much better, because just saying out loud what's happening gets it out of your head and out there in the open, and you start to relax straight away.
And I suppose also, although it's beneficial for you, it probably helps the partner as well, because they think, oh, maybe it's, you know, she's not just fallen out of love with me. She's just going through a really tough moment in life and she needs that support.
Yeah, that helps the partner to understand what's going on too. That's right.
So how, you know, you talk about helping women naturally. What are sort of the other top tips that you can share with the audience to, you know, for people that are starting to either going in the middle of the menopause or are considering to abandon HRT because it's not suiting them?
Okay, well, first of all, if you're thinking about abandoning HRT, don't just abandon it. You'll have to go to bed
okay.
for a year. So you need to come off it very slowly over a period of, it took me 6 months, I gradually came off it. So anyone out there thinking about coming off HRT, do it slowly. If you need any help, find me on Facebook, message me, and we can chat about that. But yeah, don't just abandon it, come off it slowly. In terms of managing your symptoms naturally, the biggest trigger for menopause symptoms is stress. And you know, we tend to think about stress as external stuff. You know, you think about emails or traffic jams or annoying people or whatever. But actually, stress is internal too. And your body gets stressed out by the food you put in it, by what you drink. Your body can become stressed out by the toxins in your skincare products. Your body can become stressed out by the type of exercise you do. You know, not all exercise is equal. Certain types of exercise are great for menopause. Certain types of exercise are not so good. And your lifestyle choices as well can create stress for you. You know, so we're talking about watching TV in bed. You know, that's a lifestyle choice that's going to stress out your system and stop you from sleeping. So those are the four key areas that you need to look at. So you have this big umbrella of stress that's making your symptoms worse. And within that, you've got food and drink. You've got exercise, you've got lifestyle, and you've got exposure to toxins. When it comes to food and drink and trigger for menopause symptoms, you are looking at the usual suspects. And I don't think anybody's going to be surprised when I say that caffeine, alcohol, and sugar are the three biggest triggers for your menopause symptoms. And whether you're struggling with hot flushes, with night sweats, with anxiety, with achy joints, with itchy skin, you know, whatever it is that's troubling you, those are the three areas that you need to look at first. What I recommend that all my clients do, and indeed all the ladies in my challenge, is to keep a diary.
Yes.
Whether it's a hot flush diary, a sleep diary, an anxiety diary, a mood swing diary, and help you work out what your triggers are. So if we look at hot flushes, for example, when you have a hot flush, what is going on before you have that hot flush? You know, have you just drunk a certain drink? Have you just spoken to a certain person? Is there somebody at work who's triggering your flushes? Have you just been exercising? Are you wearing a particular outfit? You know, maybe your clothes are triggering you. But until you start keeping a diary, until you start tracking your triggers, it's very difficult to know what you need to cut out and what you can keep in. So start tracking your triggers, and very quickly a pattern will emerge as to what the main triggers are for you. And the key places to look are at caffeine, alcohol, and sugar.
That's very interesting, because when I deal, particularly with my child clients or teenage clients, when they suffer from anxiety, I send them away with a journal that they have to fill in when they you know, get the symptoms of a panic attack, or they can feel the anxiety creeping up on them. And a lot of people think, it just happens randomly. But it's surprising that, it might appear to happen randomly, but often it is triggered by something specific. And once you've identified that, then it's so much easier then to remove that from your lifestyle.
Absolutely, to learn to manage it or to remove it. So, you know, buy yourself a beautiful journal and make your entries like that, or just tap it straight into your phone, whatever is the easiest thing for you. But until you start tracking your triggers, then you're not going to know what's causing your symptoms, and you're not going to know what you need to cut out, because it's going to be slightly different for everyone, because, you know, menopause is a unique experience.
So tell me, with the triggers, for instance, for the hot flushes, is it something that's likely to have happened within the immediate 5 or 10 minutes before the flush occurs? Or is it something that could be sort of creeping up over? Because I know I've had hot flushes, and when they happen, it feels as though I've just become a sort of self-contained volcano, and they happen very fast, and they go as fast as they arrived. So would I be looking at the 5 minutes prior to that happening, or should I be looking at sort of 30 minutes or an hour, or what do you recommend to ladies?
All of it. I mean, sometimes it's very easy. You could have had a hot drink and that set you off. Other times you just have to look more closely. So there's some things that are going to set you off immediately, and others that will build up over time. You know, just the memory of a stressful experience, whether it's, you know, maybe you had a difficult conversation with your boss and you're thinking about it later, a few hours later, that can be enough to trigger you. So it's that stress that's setting off that spark, because, it is the spark inside of you, isn't it? It kind of grows and grows, and you feel like there's absolutely nothing you can do about it, as you're kind of slowly going purple and melting. It's horrible. But you've got to work out what that trigger is. So start by looking at immediately beforehand, and if you can't see it there, then start thinking further back. You know, if it's not something physical, if it's not your environment, if it's not what you're wearing, if it's not something that you're drinking or eating, what were you thinking about when the flush came on?
Yes, and do you know what? That's absolutely key, because I was chatting to a friend of mine a little while ago. I mean, something ridiculous, but just about breastfeeding, and I was trying to. We were going on about that. I don't know if you've ever breastfed, but it's that feeling when the milk starts to come through, and that just set me off on a hot flush. And so I know, you know, that's exactly what that trigger was. It was just a physiological reaction to thinking about a memory that was also a very physiological event. But say if it is something like stress involved with dealing with a boss or somebody difficult in your life, you know, that because that stress is there, do you then counsel ladies how to deal with the stress itself, or is it about just identifying that that is a trigger for them, so that it just helps them understand that you know, that is what's causing or helping to contribute to the hot flushes, for instance?
Yeah, so it's a combination. Once you've identified the stressor, you immediately feel better because you've got information, and once you've got information, then you can decide what to do with it. So, you know, if your stressor is caffeine or alcohol or sugar, whatever, you can make the decision to cut it out. If it's your boss, it's slightly more tricky. You know, you can always change jobs, but actually there's going to be somebody at the new job who annoys you, because that's just how life is, right? So it's not always about cutting the stress out. It's also about learning how to manage it if it's something like that. So, you know, techniques like meditation, yoga, simple breathing exercises can all help you to manage that underlying stress or anxiety that we have running through our lives. And it's a question of choosing the right relaxation technique for you. And actually, tomorrow is day 4 of the Hot Flush Freedom Challenge, and we'll be looking in detail at relaxation techniques, because what you're trying to do is switch off that fight or flight response, that stressful situation that you found in, help yourself to power down so that your parasympathetic nervous system is switched back on.
Yes, which is then going to help you calm down and get rid of the stress itself. Can I ask you, going back a little bit, what was it with HRT that caused you to wean yourself off it and then go down the natural approach?
Well, But because for me, the big one was that it's not a cure. So I thought it fixed me. That was what I thought. I thought HRT was a cure. I thought I would take that HRT, I'd come off the HRT, and that was it. And menopause would just not be a thing in my life. So that when I realized that it wasn't a cure, it's like, well, why am I taking this? You know, it's just hiding what's going on. So for
sure.
me, that was the big driver, that it wasn't a fix. It was just a temporary thing. So, you know, why delay dealing with it? I wanted to get on and deal with it. The other thing when you look about HRT is obviously the cancer risk gets talked about a lot. Now,
yes,
I'm not a scientist. I don't know how big that risk is. But for me, if there's even a small risk and I have another option, then that would be another reason for me to go down the natural route. And the third reason is that menopause is it's a natural part of the female life cycle, just like puberty.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't medicate our daughters to get them through puberty. So why are we medicating ourselves as older women to get through menopause? It doesn't make any sense to me. But the key driver for me was it doesn't work in the long term. It's just a temporary band-aid. Yeah.
Yes, that's quite a frightening thought, actually, when so many of us are faced with that. And at the end of the day, it's not necessarily going to resolve the problems that you're faced with. And like you say, I mean, I remember talking to the doctor about it, and she was saying, well, you have a slightly increased risk of developing, I think it's breast cancer in particular. Mm. And I think it's cancer of the womb if you have an estrogen only one. But if you don't take HRT, she was saying you've got a much higher risk of osteoporosis. But then, of course, I suppose if you're, you know, you're exercising regularly, then you're much reducing your risk of osteoporosis because of the fact that you're using muscles which are attached to bones, which helps to strengthen them when you're using those muscles. So
yep, that's
I think
right.
your
you can
approach
combat the risk of osteoporosis. You're absolutely right with what you eat, the way in which you exercise, and through the right type of supplements. So you know, again, it's all about personal choice. And my personal choice was that I didn't want the risk of HRT, particularly as it didn't work. But I felt that I could manage my risk of osteoporosis through the way I eat, exercise, and supplement.
Absolutely. And I mean, was there any side effect in particular that you suffered with being on HRT? Because there are some common ones, aren't there?
For me, no, I was absolutely fine. I didn't have any side effects at all. So I think I was quite lucky because I speak to a lot of women who do, and like I say, they still have symptoms, or they've had to come off HRT because it just didn't agree with them, because it made them feel sick or dizzy, or it just simply wasn't working.
So taking a slightly different angle now, I'm quite involved with a company called Minds at Work, Jeff McDonald, who is trying to reduce the stigma of mental health in the workplace. So how do you think we should be helping our ladies that are going through the menopause in the workplace?
Yeah, so I think, you know, this is a topic at the moment which is largely ignored. You know, 100% of women are going to go through menopause.
Absolutely.
As a population, we're working later and later into our lives. So plenty of women are going to be at work experiencing menopause symptoms. If they don't have the information that they need to control their symptoms, or if management or HR don't have the information in order to recognise ladies who might be struggling with symptoms, then that's going to impact the health of the women experiencing symptoms, and it's going to impact the bottom line of the company. Because if you're sweating so much, you're embarrassed to speak up in meetings. If you're not sleeping, you're too tired to make good strategic decisions, then you need access to balanced expert advice. And, you know, a company simply putting information on their intranet so that ladies have got somewhere to go is just such an easy thing to be able to do. Or making sure that staff have got access to drinking water, access to get to the loo if they need, or working hours, so that if you do have a really bad night, you can work from home and you can work different hours. So I think, you know, the impact of menopause in the workplace isn't being significantly looked at by business yet. And the University of Nottingham did a survey, and I think it was 2010, and of the women they interviewed, they found that 50% felt that their performance at work had been impacted by menopause. You know, they talked about poor concentration, low energy levels, and of course hot flushes and the embarrassment factor attached with that. So, you know, let's help women at work, because you're not just helping women at work, you're helping the businesses too.
Do you talk to any specific areas of work that to sort of recommend that they put various strategies in place for women that are menopausal?
Yeah, I have done so. I've done some work with North Hertfordshire Police. I ran a big workshop for them to all about sharing advice on how to manage symptoms naturally. I've been talking to a large supermarket chain recently, again, about helping to disseminate advice among their employees, about putting information together on their intranet, not just for their female employees, but for the male employees too, who may have a partner at home who's struggling with menopause and they don't know how to deal with it. So for me, it's all about women being able to get access to balanced expert advice, whether they're at home or whether they're at work. You know, the workplace these days, you know, they get information to a lot of stuff. You know, this whole thing around mental health in the workplace, a lot of big companies are looking at that now. So why not look at menopause too?
Absolutely. No, I think it's absolutely vital, especially if you've had a lady that's been working in the workplace for a long period of time. I mean, she's a fantastic asset and she's going through a few years of difficulty. Then I think it's the right thing to be there to support her. And apart from the fact we don't really have much choice about it, do we?
No, that's it. You've got no choice, you know, and women are supported brilliantly through pregnancy and maternity leave as a rule these days. So why not have the same measures in place for menopause?
Do you find that the workplaces that you speak to are actually very proactive in what you suggest, or do they sort of nod and say, yeah, okay, but don't really put measures into place to support their female work members of staff?
You know, it's a mixed bag. Some places I try to talk to run screaming for the hills.
Yeah.
And other more forward-thinking organisations are like, yes, we need to do this. Other organisations I've got in touch with, John Lewis, for example, came back to me straight away to say immediately that they've already got that, they already have a menopause policy as part of their overall health and wellbeing strategy. So, you know, different employers have different approaches. And it was the same with maternity originally, wasn't it? You know, some companies got on board with it straight away. Others have been more slow in coming up to date with that.
Absolutely. Very much so. Do you have... do you find the same question reoccurring on your freedom challenge coming from ladies as to a specific difficulty that they're facing in the workplace?
In the workplace, I think it's around embarrassment and just, you know, fear of speaking out because you might have a boss who you think won't understand. The embarrassment of hot flushes. So I think it's about embarrassment and confidence are the two biggest issues in the workplace for women.
I must admit, I think it's a very difficult thing for some women to talk about and to let their male colleagues know what they're going through. Do you ever get people in touch with you about the male menopause out of interest?
No, I haven't. The old menopause, no, I haven't. That's not something that that I have any information on, no.
I think it's quite different to what we have anyway, but
not my area of expertise, the andropause, no.
So what do you see for your freedom challenge then? How is it going to develop in the future, do you think?
Oh, going to get bigger. So really, my vision for the freedom challenge is that I will run it quarterly. And, you know, and it's going to be rocking. Each time I run it, it's going to get bigger and bigger. Like I said, it's absolutely free. Anyone who's struggling with menopause symptoms can come and join in and get some relief within 3 to 5 days. Quite a few ladies get some really good results. So it's a quarterly challenge that I'd like to see go national. And who knows, maybe it'll go global one day as well, because the more women I can reach, the more women who can get information to take control of their own bodies. It's about empowering us in our third age, really.
And so what would you say are the environmental actions that women can take to reduce the depression or the anxiety or the sort of irritability that's so characteristic of menopause?
I think, you know, a lot of the irritability and the anxiety, a lot of that you can resolve through eating well. You know, sugar is sugar is a terrible trigger for making us, for mood swings, for and for anxiety, for energy crashes. So look at your sugar intake, and particularly look for hidden sugars. You know, sugar is hidden everywhere these days, isn't it, by the food industry? They're so bad.
Yes.
Avoid low-fat products which are loaded with sugar. So watching your sugar intake is super important when it comes to managing your moods and your anxiety. In terms of the environment, you know, it's looking at toxins as well. So a lot of skincare products are loaded with toxins. And, you know, remember your skin is your biggest organ. And it's an organ of absorbability. So what you put on it goes straight into your system. So if you're using a skin cream that's loaded with a lot of toxins, maybe that's a trigger for you. Same with cleaning products. And the other thing that I always say to ladies to look out for is you're looking out for xenoestrogens, X-E-N-O, xenoestrogens, which are a chemical compound which mimic our natural estrogen. And we're exposed to these from a number of different places these days. And what happens is when you absorb xenoestrogens, your body thinks your estrogen levels are higher than they actually are. And you might think that's good. You know, a lot of us think all the problems with menopause symptoms are down to dropping estrogen levels. But actually, it's the gap between estrogen and progesterone, which is where the problems often lie. So you've got estrogen and progesterone, which are your two main sex hormones, and they are dropping as we head towards menopause. Estrogen is kind of a bit bossy, a bit of a grumpy hormone, whereas progesterone is much more calming and a friendly hormone. And keep estrogen in check. As you're heading towards menopause, progesterone levels are dropping quicker. And it's that gap between estrogen and progesterone that can cause a lot of difficulties. So if you're then taking on board xenoestrogens as well, your body thinks that gap's even higher, even bigger.
Oh, right.
And so, the symptoms like digestive issues, hot flushes, brain fog, whatever it is, can get worse. And one of the most common places that xenoestrogens turn up is in plastic bottles or plastic containers. So if you only ever do one thing as a result of listening to me, it's to stop drinking out of plastic bottles or eating out of plastic containers and invest in some BPA-free, bisphenol A-free containers. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them at the supermarkets. They don't cost much money, and it's a really easy change to make to help you avoid those xenoestrogens, which are always going to make your symptoms worse. So that's the biggest difference you can make environmentally speaking.
Do you know, that's fascinating, because we spend a lot of time in France, and they're very, very hot on not allowing parabens into their moisturizers and their products that you put on your body. And as a result of that, I think that's why I've become BPA free aware. But yes, there are. I agree with you. I have a friend who has battled breast cancer, and she's convinced it's down to the plastic containers that she used to store food and drink in that attributed her attributable to her breast cancer. So how do we find those BPA free bottles? Is it clearly labeled?
Usually says on the bottom BPA free. The brand I use actually is Systema, Systema, but you know, just go onto Amazon and type in BPA free water bottle and they'll pop up. And they have them on the shelves in all the supermarkets.
Okay, no, that's a great tip. And what about, going back to parabens for a moment, do those have any effect, do you think, on...
Absolutely, in our moisturisers, in our makeup, in, you know, the shower gels. They can too. I mean, you've got to keep your trigger tracker, right? You've got to do your diary. You've got to work out what's going on. And once you've eliminated the usual suspects, if you're still having problems, and not everyone does, sometimes just getting rid of the sugar and caffeine, cutting back on the alcohol can help. But if you're still having issues, then that's where you need to look next. It's at the toxins. But, you know, swapping to a BPA-free water bottle is so easy. I mean, easier than giving up wine, right?
Yes, very much easier than giving
anybody
up wine.
Anybody can do it.
And so I know it's something that we've not mentioned yet, but I've been reading a fair amount about aches and pains that are common during the menopause. Besides taking pain medication or just managing with it, is there any natural therapy that you can recommend to ladies?
Yeah, for the aches and pains, again, it's cutting back on things like sugar, which, you know, cause inflammation in the joints.
Okay.
Cutting back on caffeine, making sure that you're well hydrated. The aches and pains can take a bit longer to go, but once you're eating better, once you're exercising well, once you're helping to relieve all that stress within your system, the aches and pains that are specifically related to menopause will go too.
I think that's great because sugar is just the demon, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, like I said, it's hidden everywhere. You know, generally, if a product, if an energy bar says it's really healthy and it's gluten-free and it's dairy-free and it's this, that and the other free and it's in a green or healthy-looking packaging, it's probably loaded with sugar. You know,
yeah.
Always read, take your glasses to the supermarket and always read the ingredients. And if there's more than 10 grams per 100 grams of sugar in it, don't go anywhere near it unless you're running a marathon.
No, absolutely. No, I'm pleased you just said about the grammage because that was my next question to you. You know, what is a good guideline
as a rough
healthy
guide, I would say you don't want to be going over sort of 10 grams per 100.
So 10% of sugar content you don't want to be going above?
No.
Okay, so now you said to me your favourite quote is by Deepak Chopra, and mm-hmm. when you make a choice, you change the future. Why is that your favourite quote?
I think it's because life is full of choices, and we're continually making choices. And, you know, we really are in control of our own futures. We really are in control of our own bodies. And it doesn't matter how many poor choices you've made in the past, you can change that by making another choice. You know, choices are really powerful and we really are in control of our own futures.
I agree 100%. I always say if you want to maintain what you're doing, keep the same choices. If you want to improve or change what you're doing, you've got to choose a different option.
You've got to make different choices. Yeah, and, you know, life is all about a choice. You know, what is more important to you? A glass of wine or a good night's sleep? A cup of coffee or a good night's sleep, you know, a cake or an energy slump. You know, you've got choices, make them.
Yeah, absolutely. And be responsible for the choices that you decide to make.
You know,
and then don't blame others when you make the wrong ones.
No, and sometimes a couple of glasses of wine are going to be more important than a good night's sleep. And that's absolutely fine too, but just recognise that it's your choice.
And yeah, absolutely. So what would your top three insights be in your field of expertise, Julie?
What would I say? I would say, you know, remember, you are not alone. 100% of women go through menopause. So you are absolutely not alone. It's your menopause. It's your body. It's absolutely your choice as to how to manage symptoms. And finally, as I said earlier, you know, menopause can be a complex time of life, but it really doesn't have to be complicated to get your symptoms under control. Just got to work out what your triggers are and then choose how to manage them.
So do you really think it's as simple as working out what the triggers are and then finding the remedies which can help alleviate those symptoms that you're suffering?
Yeah. If caffeine is a trigger for you, then work on cutting it back and eliminating it. If alcohol is a trigger for you, you know, like I said, you've got to decide what's more important for you, the wine or the night sweats, you know, and it's your choice. And sometimes the wine will be more important and you accept the consequences of a poor night's sleep. Other times what you're doing the next day is more important than having a glass of wine the night before. So it is. It's about choice and it's about your control.
Joanne, the lovely thing about all this is the way to sort of help alleviate menopausal symptoms, they're so simple. I mean, these are really simple lifestyle choices
make. So simple. It's not, you know, it's not difficult. It's only difficult when you try to do it alone. If you're doing it in a group, if you're doing it with help, it's so much easier. You know, the power of shared experience, the power of groups of women cheerleading and supporting each other. It's only difficult when you're trying to do it alone.
So talking about doing it together and part of a group, how do ladies find your Facebook challenge?
So the Facebook challenge at the moment, we're on day four tomorrow, but if you'd really, you can play catch up. So if you would like to join, then please just look for the Facebook group, Hot Flush Freedom Challenge. Ask to join and I will add you in. Alternatively, you can join the waitlist for the next challenge, which will be later in the spring. And you simply need to go to www.juliedennis.net/hot/freedom challenge. And that will put you on the wait list for the next challenge, which will be towards the end of March, early April.
If ladies decide to join up now, are you still monitoring comments and replies that have taken place from day one and two, or is it a daily process?
You know, I'm in there all the time. The 10 days of the challenge, I'm wholly dedicated to every single woman who's participating. So if you're joining us late, that's absolutely fine. You can play catch up and I'll help you as much as I can.
Do you find you get ladies that have been going through it for several years now and are still coming back to your Hot Flush Freedom Challenge?
Yeah, so like I said, this is the third time I've ran the challenge. I ran it for the first time in October last year. I did it in January this year, and now we're doing it in February. And a couple of the ladies who were in the challenge in January have rejoined in February. And that's because what I recommend at the beginning of the challenge is, rather than thinking you want to get rid of all your symptoms, is you focus on one. So they'll have sorted out their sleep maybe, but they still haven't sorted out their anxiety or their hot flushes, so they're coming back this time to work on a second symptom.
Ah, that's fascinating. So you're chunking it down and make it really simple, so just
absolutely
focus on the one individual symptom rather than having a sort of chaotic mess.
Yeah, because otherwise you don't know what's working and what isn't. So if you're just focusing on one thing, it's much easier to track your results and to celebrate your successes, because otherwise what can happen is, if you're trying to cure everything all in one go, you might cure your sleep, but if you're still getting hot flushes, you feel like a failure. Whereas if you're just focusing on sorting out your sleep, and you've sorted out your sleep, that's a big win, and then you're on to the next win.
I like that. It's positive psychology. That's very resonates very much with me. So I have here your Hot Flush Freedom Guide. Is that something that is goes alongside the challenge?
It can run separately. So again, if you just want to go pop along to juliedennis.net/hot/freedom guide, it's a free guide that I put together with three quick and easy ways to help you get control of your hot flushes at home.
Oh, that's fantastic. So that's something that everybody should be downloading. And tell me again, how do they find that, Julie? What's the address
so
of that?
juliedennis.net/hot/freedom guide.
That is absolutely superb. So just sort of tying up now, because we're getting towards the end of the interview, Julie, what does living your best life mean to you? You know, for ladies that are doing your Hot Flush Freedom Challenge, I'm trying to do that with my teeth in.
It's easier to type than it is to say, yeah.
It certainly is. How would you incorporate that into living your best life?
Well, for me, best life is, it's all about balance. So, you know, like I said, when I first entered the health and wellness industry, for me, it wasn't about being super fit or super thin or super healthy. It was about finding the balance that was right for me and for my clients. And that's what managing your menopause symptoms is all about too. You know, you don't have to give everything up. That's not what it's all about. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to. It's about making the best choices for you in any particular circumstances. So you can, you know, you can go out and eat whatever you like on some occasions if that's what you want to do. It's absolutely fine. But, you know, life and fulfillment and enjoyment for me, it's all about balance, whether it's about what I'm eating, whether it's finding time for my work, for my friends, for my family.
I think that is so sensible, because I think if we make things too difficult, then we really risk setting ourselves up for failure. And like you say, life has to be a balance. And sometimes, you know, if you enjoy a glass of wine, you're going to have a glass of wine occasionally. Otherwise, it gets so boring. I mean, not just because of wine, but, you know, sometimes.
As you said, there's nothing wrong with an occasional glass of wine. I certainly have them.
And the odd cup of coffee. I must admit, I think coffee would be a tricky one for me to give up, but I probably could.
I don't have caffeine at all now. I was absolutely fine with that. It didn't bother me at all. But, you know, we're all individuals. We find it, some of us find it easy to give, some women give up alcohol, no problem. And that's it. They never touch it again. That's not me, but I managed to do that with caffeine.
Well, actually, just out of interest for some of your ladies trying to give up caffeine, I actually tried something a little while ago called Ticino. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's it used to be called a herbal coffee, and I think they've just recently rebranded it as a herbal tea, which it's strange to me, because the whole reason I tried it was because it tastes so much like coffee. And actually, it is really, really tasty, but it's completely caffeine-free. So for anybody out there that wants to try something that tastes pretty similar to coffee and is super healthy, give Ticino a go. I think it's Teecino, but I know you can find it on Amazon and places like that, but that's certainly given me a caffeine free outlet of something that tastes vaguely coffee like.
Okay, right, that's a great tip. I will be sharing that with my challenge ladies when I pop in and speak to them later in the group.
So there's about 5 minutes remaining, Julie. Are there any last minute thoughts or inspirations you want to leave our listeners with?
No, I mean, like it really is just, you're not alone, but if you need help, you've got to ask for it. It really is that simple. If you're struggling, you've got to ask for help. Otherwise, nothing's going to change.
And the great thing is that you're there to help, and you can offer some really, really useful advice. So for our ladies that haven't yet found you, how do they connect with you?
So find me on Facebook group, Facebook, Julie Dennis, the Menopause Coach. My website is www.juliedennis.net, and it's packed with free and advice and information on how you can get hold of you and how you can get control of your menopause symptoms. So
and how do they
places.
How do they download your guide?
And the guide is juliedennis.net/hot-flush-freedom-guide.
Okay, fantastic. I'm pleased I asked you all that, because I think I might have forgotten otherwise. I will make sure that I type all of this up in the show notes in any case.
Fine,
so what I'll do is I'll be posting on my Facebook page, and that is at facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk, and I'll make sure that I post in your Freedom Challenge group as well, Julie, if you don't mind, just to remind if anybody manages to find their way there as to the various links and things, if that's all right with you.
Yep, that's very cool.
So, well, thank you so much, Julie, for taking the time to chat with me today. It's been such a delight. You've come up with so much useful information.
The thing I love about it so much,
it's so simple. You know, these techniques that we and strategies that we can use are ones that we know we ought to be doing to excel in all parts of our life, in actual fact. So I'm just really excited to have had the opportunity to connect with you, and I thank you so much for all the value you've provided to our listeners. So go and visit Julie. You can find her at www.juliedennis.net. Again, as I said, all the links to this interview and to Julie and to her challenge, I will post on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk. Thank you all so much for listening. This was episode 2 of the Flourish and Thrive radio show with Kate Hartley, and my website is flourishtherapy.co.uk. Julie Dennis, the Menopause Coach, was my extremely superlative, inspiring guest, and you can find her at juliedennis.net. Thank you all so much for listening. Go out there and live your best lives as though today was your last day. And until next time, goodbye for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Great news. Albertsons, Chevron, and Texaco are offering savings at the pump. Sign up today to earn gas rewards on your grocery purchases. Just go to Albertsons.com/rewards or download the Albertsons app to sign up. Enter your phone number at checkout and earn points. Redeem your gas rewards at participating Chevron, Texaco, and Vons gas stations. Maximum gas reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is 20 cents per gallon and up to $1 per gallon at Vons stations in a single fill-up, up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions and exclusions apply. See complete details at Albertsons.com/rewards.